Extravaganza.
What is up, all of you horror hounds and just all around fans of the macabre? This is the Horror Pop Extravaganza, episode 22. I am Pops Ghostly, and with me, as always, it is
Ken Dixfeloff.
Ken Dixfeloff.
That's right.
That sounds maybe German, Belgian.
It's Dutch German.
Dutch German. Okay.
Yeah.
Dixfeloff. I like it, Ken. That's a cartoon that would be easy to draw. The just somebody standing there with their dick fell off, dude. Like, he's got a name tag that says Ken.
There you go.
See, you're a literal Ken doll. Any like Ken doll who has no genitalia is Ken Dixfeloff. He invented the doll because he was so pissed about his genitals being gone.
See, it's normal.
Grandfather. It is normal, kids. Play with these toys. Everyone will think it's normal. Oh, what is up, Ken? How are you today?
I'm just living life, dude. It's spring break. I'm excited. Got off my last day at work. I'm going for a trip tomorrow.
That's exciting, dude. Enjoy that. Leave work behind. Leave all of it behind and just enjoy yourself. And hopefully your dick don't fall off, literally, because that would be a terrible thing to happen. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh,
this
boy,
is a big one. Yes, this is hands down one of my favorite haunted house movies.
Yes.
It is unbelievable. I was thinking about the tagline. I was sitting there on the shitter earlier, and I'm thinking about this movie, just sitting there, because I try not to do a bunch of stuff, like play it on my phone or whatever, and I'm like, okay, getting ready to talk about this, because I did not rewatch it, but I feel very confident that I can talk this movie really well. This one, and I just read the novelization maybe 6-7 months ago, so a lot of it is still, you know, that different kind of input.
Right.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Oh, chills,
that,
dude.
That in itself is a nightmare thought, because it's the truth.
Right.
You'd be trying to make sound and there'd be nothing. Just like going away, floating off. That's great for a podcast.
That's perfect for a podcast.
But that line, that image of the theatrical poster that went along with this thing when it came out way back when. I was trying to watch some extras on iTunes before we started. And then I got through like 3 or 4 of them. And then my kid came in and was like, I want to watch Amazing World of Gumball. And she just broke her ankle at Easter playing on the trampoline with all of her cousins. And so I'm like, all right, dude. So, and I'm never mad about Gumball. I'll sit and watch Gumball all day. That shit it's genius. It was very well written. So, and well produced, man. It's just wild to watch the different animations going on, like in all the different levels. Super cool stuff. But back to what we're talking about. In space, no one can hear you scream, and just this egg with a green glow.
Yeah,
green glows. If the 80s, 70s, all the way back to the 50s, if we could have seen some of that black and white in color, they'd probably have been like, that's fucking green. Glowing green. It's nefarious. There's something in there, but it's also life. Like, green is a life color, you know, when you see it. If you haven't figured it out yet, we are talking about Alien. When you said, hey, I'm going on vacation, can we jump on something early? Ken, absolutely. Let's do it. What could we get on? You said Alien, couple other things. All I saw was Alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and the couple little bits of extras I got to see were super cool, dude, because they were talking about this being the transitional period of science fiction design.
Yes.
They said 2001 was an example of it done really well, but this was kind of, you know, away from the flying saucers and shit that we were used to in the 50s and the 40s and all that stuff, even into the 60s. This was big. It was in space. This is before but you know what? Just lay it all out there. How'd this thing happen, dude? Because there's so much fun to talk about and just how it got made.
Yes. All right. This is Alien from 1979. Crazy to think that it's been that long.
70. Oh, dude.
And this movie holds up like a motherfucker.
So good.
Like, I just watched it on my big screen. So this is the first time I've had the Alien big screen experience, and it was meant for the theater. Like, it's
absolutely
It's gorgeous. If they ever do,
our local theater's been doing a lot of re-releases of stuff, and I need to pay closer attention to the calendar because they've had some gems that I missed out on. I've caught a few, like me and the kid went and saw Spaceballs. That was awesome. Nice. But when the summer comes up, they'll do like Ninja Turtles, Enter the Dragon, like all of these, you know, the good shit that you want to see on a humongous screen. But
yeah,
I am happy that you get to watch it on a, because I've seen your setup and that's nice, dude.
Oh, dude,
that's
nice. It's a game changer. Like, why the fuck do I leave the house, dude? I don't have a reason. So Alien from 1979, rated R, 1 hour and 57 minutes. But I will say this movie feels lean when you watch it. It gets right to it and just goes, dude. And that is I can't
remember the last time I watched. I know in my version that I own digitally, I can pick the theatrical or the extended, and I always pick the extended cuts of Alien. It's like Lord of the Rings. I don't know if I'll ever go back to so I don't know if that's an extended runtime or if this is probably the theatrical.
That is the original theatrical runtime. And I say it's lean by today's standards. Kids are like, it's not fucking you in the face immediately. So some people might not agree with that, but if you've seen the OG, sure. I mean, if nothing else, the pacing for this movie is perfect.
Amazing.
So maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't move as fast as I feel like it does. But
when I read the book version, which I think though came out after the movie, but it was written by Dan O'Bannon, who I want to say did the screenplay or wrote the story, whatever it was pretty spot on. I mean, you get some deeper character development, but for the most part, the pacing is right, kind of along, like how their shit went down in step one, step two, step three.
Right. And when you look at from his, like now Alien is such a franchise. We know all the rules and all the things that go into it.
We've seen all, but
Dan O'Bannon came up with the shit. He had to come up with the egg and the face hugger. Well,
the face hugger, the guy was talking about it on the thing. I don't think it was Dan O'Bannon. It was somebody else looking at the face hugger and talking about developing the parasitic approach. And he's like, I started with the whole thing's life cycle. And he's like, I tried everything and everything and everything. And he found some underground comic somewhere, which I want to watch the rest of this shit. It's the first time I ever saw it. And I only got probably 10 minutes into it. But he says, I found this underground comic where this fucking thing would lay eggs in you and there's like shit on your face and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, that's fucking scary, dude. And then he's like, so I started looking at cows and how they'll pick up parasites and they'll grow in the hooves and the full life cycle of what would become iconically the xenomorph as everyone knows it today.
That's gnarly, man. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the face hugger, just like just the idea of it. You can't, like, that's scarier than the alien for me, is being alive with that thing on my face and that thing down my throat.
Yeah, just laying eggs down you.
Yeah, just putting eggs down there. That's going to not come out in a nice way. Like, fuck.
Get there. But continue.
We'll get there. Yeah, let's start with the cast, shall we? A little unknown lady named Sigourney Weaver as Ripley.
First, maybe female badass motherfucker we got to see on the screen, where the world was surrounded by hulking dudes and, you know, Arnold's doing Hercules in New York and shit and doing Terminator. She shows the fuck up in this movie and she will grow over the sequels to be even more badass. But in this one, there's just something leadership you see in her, some shit. She's just, I don't know. She's amazing. Absolutely. It's amazing.
And this is 79, dude. This is when like women were just the damsels in distress.
Right. And she showed, and then you get the sequel where she, I'll show the fuck up and move boxes. Yeah. Around.
Tom Skerritt, man, just good in everything.
Everything never disappoints. This whole cast is just great. Everybody shows up and plays it really fucking well. Like they were like had that connection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you see in the military or in the fire department or in the fucking police. These people felt like they had lived around each other for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Sir John Hurt.
Sir, we salute you.
We salute you for your service.
Right. Oh, John Hurt. Another one who every time.
Yeah, just Well, maybe not Crystal Skull.
You haven't even got to my favorite in this cast yet. Right, true, fair. But you haven't even got to my favorite in this cast yet.
I can guess who that is, but we'll see. Veronica Cartwright as Lambert. And I can't not see her puking up cherries in Witches of Eastwick.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I just saw that movie pop up somewhere the other day. Does it still hold up good?
No, but it's a fucking great movie.
Okay, fair enough. You continue.
Yeah.
Here for the cherry barf and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally all about Jack Nicholson being so sexy that no woman can resist him. It's kind of horseshit, but at the end they fucking kill him really good. So
very true.
This is the guy that I'm sure is your man, Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean, baby.
Yeah, dude.
All the way, if I see his name in a credit through any time period, I will watch whatever that is because he's like I guess Steve Buscemi is our Harry Dean Stanton of a different time. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, all he shows the fuck up, but never the star of the show for the most part, but shows up and delivers unbelievable. And even the one Harry Dean did right before he died, what was it? Lucky. Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
That was good, dude.
With fucking, who was in it? David Lynch was in it with him, just like hanging out at the restaurant.
Right.
But yeah, really good movie. So Harry Dean, but in this and in everything, there's something magical.
He's like everybody's grandpa that has old dirty stories to tell.
Or uncle or somebody, yes. Who's just, but is not, he's lovable at the same time. You feel his plight. He taps a humanity that I think we can feel in almost any performance he does. Like, fuck that cat, dude. Right. Like, fuck. Anyway, continue.
Ian Holm, dude, who we forget is in your fucking Lord of the Rings.
He's
the OG Hobbit, dude.
You're right.
Yeah, and he was also he was also Jack the Ripper in From Hell.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. The
Johnny Depp vehicle from Hell. Yeah.
The Johnny Depp vehicle. I like that.
Here's my boy right here, Yaphet Kotto. Yeah.
He's so good.
He's so good, dude.
They're all so good in this.
I think it was Yaphet Kotto. Yaphet?
I'm not 100% sure on that
Yaphet
one.
Kotto.
It was all a dream.
He was the one that Eddie Murphy referred to as a struck match, which always made me laugh my ass off. Let's see. Yeah, and then we got Bojia Badeau, who was the alien in the guy in the costume, and he was like a late casting dude, and they literally like found him in a pub.
Dang, yeah, like, you need Christ falling around drunk, like fuck it, and they're like perfect. Ridley, just keep this liquored up.
Ridley Scott, I read, was he wanted a puppet the whole time, and they were like, "There's no way to puppet this thing and make it move the way you want to." And so they were going to have to go with a guy in a suit. And he was like, we're not doing the guy in a suit. We're not doing the guy in the suit. And then they saw this dude and he is 6'10". Huge motherfucker.
It's like Andre the Giant big and shit. Yeah. I mean, Andre was a little bit bigger, but that's that big, big.
Yeah, dude. So he was fucking huge and he didn't do very much. He was only in Alien. I'm looking at it right now. They've got him listed as his height 7'3" on his IMDb.
That's Andre the Giant big.
Yeah, dude. That's crazy.
Princess Bride was on the other night.
Oh, such a good movie, dude. Such a good movie. All right. So you ready to hear what this thing's about?
They better kill this one. I hope it's really good.
That's gonna be tight, dude. Just you watch. All right, here we go. The crew of a commercial spacecraft encounters a deadly life form after investigating a mysterious transmission of unknown origin.
It's not bad.
It's not good.
Not good considering we know everything about the sequels.
All they should say is, in space, no one can hear you scream.
You're right, because that's terrifying. That sense alone is so scary. And it all becomes very true as we move throughout this movie. So when did you, do you remember first seeing Alien?
Oh,
I feel,
man,
like I saw Aliens first.
I saw Aliens then, first also.
Right. Which is a big departure from Haunted House in Space. It becomes fucking James Cameron in space.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Badass. In its own way, you know, it's, but this is scary. I feel like Aliens and everything kind of after was not really scary. Maybe some of the shit in Prometheus, like the ideas were weird, but not like this is Haunted House scary. And the way we open up is dead fucking silence, dude.
Yeah. Just for the silence of space.
The silence of space and little, like, the letters are just slowly flipping around on the thing until it just says Alien.
Yeah.
And this is where the movie grabbed me so strong the first time. We don't get dialogue for a while, but you see the machine waking up.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was just like, you know, it looks like a fucking spaceship. To me today, like you said, somehow just blinky lights in the 70s and 80s is what you did for space. But this still looks tangible. And I believe it's, you know, some of the production crew they brought in. And then, of course, with the designs, everyone who came together to do the Alien itself, I think scared the shit out of everybody forever. But for these first 7, 8, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, it's just slowly going through the thing, through the spaceship. Mother is waking up, this computer system that would be comparable to fucking HAL and shit in 2001. You know, this, if they don't, if Mother's not working right, this shit just all goes to hell.
Right. And it's kind of like Cerebrus on the inside.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you're right. When he gets inside there and it's just lights everywhere.
Right. But as what you were talking about with the set dressing, I think what he did really well was what they did really well in Star Wars, which is take things that are like tangible and then present them in a way that is futuristic and robotic, because you can feel like you see the keyboard and shit and you know what it feels like to type those keys. You know, right. And the way the metal looks, you could touch it and you know what it feels like. It's rough and it's cold underneath your fingers.
On the doors.
Yeah. And like they built it like not everything works properly.
Right. Yeah. Because our two mechanics are bitching and moaning the whole movie.
Yeah, they are.
Liz Pay, we better get all this stuff. But before we even get there, we carry on throughout the ship and everybody's pods start waking up. Shh, cryostasis. Shh. We're all stretching. We're doing some shit. And John Hurt is, hey, Mother, what the fuck's going on? Yada, yada, yada. And quickly we learn we were supposed to be asleep for another while.
Right.
And this is our introduction to one of, I think, next to the Foot Clan, the most nefarious organizations in all of fiction.
Absolutely. You know, dude, what I mean? Like Skynet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's the Foot Clan, Skynet, and is it
Weyland-Yutani.
Weyland-Yutani. Weyland-Yutani. And I think the name changes here and there once they come under fire for shit. It might just be Weyland at some point, but yes, Weyland-Yutani, who is the owner of the Nostromo tugboat. Like you said, this ship looks cool. It looks cool from the outside. Like Star Wars, somehow this space shit still holds up. I mean, I know I'm watching a remastered version. I'll take it. Right. But even the original, I'm sure, looks great. I think I have it on VHS downstairs, so that's probably as far back as I can get it. But looks super cool. We meet our crew. They are just regular people drinking coffee, shooting the shit, making jokes with each other, hanging out. And with them is what's the android's name? Fuck, why can't I think
of
the...
How could you forget that?
Because I kept thinking Bishop, but I know that's not till later. Ash is our first android.
Which, and we don't know he's an android until much later.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And he is also the science officer.
Mm-hmm.
Anything science related has to go through him. Ripley is somewhere on the con, I think, like that. Lambert is our pilot. And then John Hurst, the captain. And then our other two are the engineers, and that's everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So they get woken up because of a distress signal on a planet or asteroid or something that is not too far from where they currently have their asses planted. Big corporation says, you need to go investigate to see what's going on. This part was really cool in the book. Like, it was way more intense with all the shit, all the eggs and everything. It was super cool. But they have to go investigate and figure out what happened. We come down in what is still an awesome looking, scary landing scene.
Yes, dude. And it was so scary. And if you know now what we know now about space, super realistic for what an asteroid would be like.
Right. Trying to land on it. So they're given this call to go check it all out. They make it so far. Who goes out? There's two of them that go out.
It's Dallas goes out and John Hurt's character goes out and Ripley goes out.
No,
Ripley stays. The other girl, the pilot.
Lambert goes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're investigating. They come across some gnarly shit. He goes down a hole and it's even like crazier gnarly shit, which is a super cool setup, though, to have the shit rigged and, you know, lower him down. Hey, if you get so far, da 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 da. He gets down there and some of the scariest things you have ever seen that you could imagine happening to you.
Right.
All happen right here.
Yeah.
Pods just start like, first off, he's like, I don't know what the fuck, you know, I don't know what it is. Pods just start opening up with these grotesque, like flowers almost.
Like gross, fleshy wet flowers.
Fleshy flowers.
I'm not going to lie. The first time I saw a pussy, I kind of had a flashback to Alien.
I don't know who you were with or what you were watching, but I hope you got checked. So these things open up, and my man, out of nowhere, I think he pokes at one, or he's shining the light through. Can't you see the fucking thing moving?
He puts his fucking face right over the hole, and I'm just like, I don't care what situation I was in. Well, no, I take it back, because the first time I had sex, I put my face right over the hole. Anything could have popped out of there.
Perfect. So this hand-like creature launches itself out of the pod onto his mask. And I think we see from the inside the acid starting to do something, or it just shoots the thing right through the glass.
Yeah, it must cut itself on the glass, because it doesn't explain it, but the effect is so fucking cool looking of this thing melted into his helmet.
Yeah, and it's wild. So they are now freaked the fuck out. They lose comms with him, pull him back up. Hey, he's still alive somehow. We don't understand, but he's still alive. Let's take him back to the ship. Ripley right here. This is fucking true great leadership. She's like, fuck no.
Yeah.
No. It is in the manual. Do not bring any kind of foreign thing on until like a 24-hour decom or something like that.
Right.
They all are losing their minds. Captains, get me on my ship. No, the roles are reversed, you know, Lambert's panicking. This thing's on his face, but he's still alive. And Ash comes through and hits the button. Here they are. Knowing what we know now, and this movie does a good job of hiding his true intentions.
Absolutely, it does. And they set up such a great tension between him and Ripley before this even happens, that they're tense with each other, because Ash thinks he should be in charge, and Ripley is like, when Dallas isn't here, I'm in charge. And that was a great setup for the woman versus man roles at the time, too.
Which is perfect. You're right. Yeah, kind of switch in the gender stereotypes and shit. She's so badass.
It just adds to the tension, you know? And then when you find out what really is going on, you're like, oh, fuck.
Played it is he was right on that line of believable. And then once you learn he's a robot or an android, you can see the thinking and the method.
That's what's great about rewatching it, knowing that he's an android and he's playing it so good in this part where you see all the things going through his head and he never speaks.
Right. He doesn't at all. And it is crazy. So We're in medical bay. We do the x-ray, and that is just so gross. This, the x-ray is what really sells this idea, and it is disgusting.
Right. Because you think, like, seeing it, you're just like, oh, that thing's on his face. No, that thing's in his fucking mouth.
Right. But also keeping him alive. It's oxygenating his body.
Right. And then when they show him try to take it off and it constricts the tail around his neck.
Yeah, like, no, I'll die or I'll kill it before, you know. So he has Ash looking over the body. Everybody's kind of freaking out, maybe in the mess hall. Gathered up. I want to say we're in the mess hall a lot, and that was a good set piece because they used it quite a few times. I get it, you know, use your money wisely. They did in this thing because the effects, oh, so good. I don't remember when they tried to burn it.
They try to cut off the leg with like a little saw thing. Elbow or something, and that instantly burned the blood. Which, what a fucking cool idea is that, like, why can't we take this thing off? Well, because it has acid for blood.
It's the ultimate apex predator that's solely driven by taking over pretty much everything. It's just laying its egg everywhere. It's a giant killer parasite that's scary as fuck.
That's the thing that scares me more than anything is something that can't be reasoned with. So, like, even Predator, you could be like, come on, Predator, I'm on your side. And I don't have any guns and I'm pregnant. Leave me alone. But like the alien doesn't give a fuck. It's just there to fuck and eat.
But that is also the difference between Alien and Predator, where Predator will develop a strategy and shit and be like, oh, I kind of figured you out a little bit now. Jungle.
Well, yes, but the aliens also have developed strategy. Like you see them, the way they colonize and everything, and they will sacrifice in the fourth one. Remember they sacrificed the aliens so they can break out of the jail?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like, was that the fourth one?
Yeah, that was after three.
Big baby. Is that the one with the big baby?
Oh, yeah, that was the gross Sigourney, half alien, half Sigourney Weaver.
That was weird, man. This franchise does, this first movie is amazing. Second one, great. Third one, I really love, especially that director's cut, but it does take some wild turns. Anyway. How does it take itself off its face? And then they start to dip, it dies or something, once, like the face
dies. Yeah, once it like lays its egg, then the face hugger just falls off and dies. And then the dude pops up and doesn't remember shit. He's just like, I had this weird dream. I was getting fucked in the mouth, but I feel great now. Let's eat.
And they do some experiments on him. Or I shouldn't say experiments. They do some analysis to see, and everything looks good. They're like, yeah, you sound great. Look great. Try and get something to eat. Everybody's hooray. The face thing is dead. Our boy is good. I believe when they shot this scene, the cast didn't know exactly what was coming.
Right.
And it was a multi-angle shot so they could get everybody's real responses. And you see that shit.
Yeah.
That's why it's been parodied so many times.
Yeah.
What's the hello, my baby? Hello, my honey. When he goes running away off the bar. Yeah.
Spaceballs, dude.
Spaceballs. There we go. I just thought that's probably why I was thinking about it. But it's been done a million times. But this initial chest burster is a nightmare. And the effect is fantastic.
It's stellar, dude. And that was done with like puppets and like a dude with his head poking out with a fake body and stuff. And you can
see a little bit of the fake body now, but who cares? I would rather see that all day.
All I see, dude, is him choking on crackers and like twitching and shit. Like he did such a good job.
I feel like they were electrocuting under there. Like a wire was loose. And they were like, get this motherfucker shaking.
Yeah. I don't know how he, you know, decided like that's how his body would move if something was trying to tear out of his chest. But it's to this day, the most insane chest bursting scene out of the whole series.
Yeah, because this is the one where you got that response. They had no idea it was going to be a little tiny face like with little teeth, little sharp silvery teeth. And it's a very phallic looking fucking little monster.
Oh, yeah, dude. It looks like a dick with teeth. And it hops off that table, dude, and just like takes off. And you're like, whoa, shit.
And now he's chest bursted open. Everybody's panicking. There's blood all over everybody everywhere. Yeah. We got to try and find this thing. This is where shit starts to go from bad to worse. And I want to say he's trying to talk to Mother, right? This is where he starts to communicate, like, hey, we have an emergency.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to save us. Is there anybody around to help? We're in the middle of space. And when you're in space, no one can hear you scream. We develop, I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like I know real well, but I could still be wrong on some shit. Like saying Sanderson for a whole fucking... So, Sarandon, Mr. Chris Sarandon. So, they are going to start to hunt this thing down, but the acid was leaked, that's right, down to the engine room. So, the homies got to go make sure something went bad.
Yeah, systems were to go. It was eating through everything, and they're like, that shit's going to eat right through the hole.
Right, right.
I don't know what their plan was to like stop it either, but...
I feel like it does lose some of its potency, everything it has to eat through, which in our world of physics and nature and shit, that would make sense that, you know, it would lose something. Cause if not, it would just continually just burn through everything forever.
Right. And like when you watch the other ones and they're on a ship and they're killing these aliens, just like with machine guns and shit, you're like, wait a minute.
We gotta go, man. We gotta go. They're down in the engine room fixing stuff up. He's trying to talk to Mother. Ash is inspecting the dead specimen, the face hugger, I believe.
Yeah, and he's like into it. He's like, he respects it for being this like killing this apex machine.
Alpha killing machine. Yeah. Exactly. Look at it. It's perfect in every way. Fucking poking at it and prodding the little fingers are like. Now you can buy CPAP masks that got those motherfuckers on them. I've seen people wearing them.
That's crazy, dude. I've even seen like doily ones, like you wear them in the wintertime, dude. It's crazy.
I've got one that's I want to say it's not a beanie, it's a something though. Oh, a bandana that's got them all over it.
Nice.
Just fucking little fingers all over the thing. We're so used to it. But this shit was scary in 79, terrifying. We had already taken cowboys to space with Star Wars, and now we're taking horror to space, haunted house to space with Alien. We learn, this is where I'm getting a little bit more foggy, but when do we learn about the rapid growth?
We don't learn about that until they create these flamethrowers as weapons because they're not a military operation.
Tug ship or a salvage vessel.
Yeah, right. So they have to build weapons. So they build these badass fucking flamethrowers to go after this thing. And then they, of course, split up to go look for it. But this is where this is where your boy steps in something icky and he looks down and it's the skin.
Oh, yeah, Harry Dean Stanton. Yeah.
And he goes, what's it doing? Like mulching?
Oh. And it's so visceral. Every effect in this movie is so slimy.
Everything is dripping with goo.
Well played. Now we start getting... Well, when does the cat come into play? She's had Jonesy around for a while.
Yeah, so Jonesy's around. So they go looking for the alien, and she has created kind of a rudimentary version of what they have in the second one where it makes a little blinky dot when something's moving.
Ping.
Yeah, so she's getting the ping of something alive, and they follow it into the locker room, and the fucking cat jumps out. It's the old cat jumps out of the closet scare. But for some reason in this one, it makes me more angry because it gets me every time, and I'm just like, I knew it was coming. Fuck you, kitty cat.
Because Jonesy becomes such a pivotal part of people dying.
Truly, truly. So Jonesy takes off and they give poor boy Brett. They make him go fucking search for Jonesy. And out of all these characters, he seems to be the one that would be like, go get your own fucking cat.
right. I'm down here in the shit all day with these pipes, steamy, sweaty, and gross. But he goes to get... Jonesy, awesome set piece right here, because I think there's a big fan above him. Like, boom, boom,
this
boom,
is the
boom,
craziest
boom.
Thing, because there's chains and a fan, and there's water pouring down. And I was like, where the fuck is this water coming from? They later explain it's a leaking cooling unit that he was supposed to have fixed.
Right, but he gets snatched real quick. Does, and is this the first time we see Big Alien, right? Because we see the arms. Yeah. I don't think we see the whole thing. When he looks up, we maybe see a little
like,
of the
reaches face. Out and like,
reaches out of the darkness, and this is the person in the costume, which you can see now.
Right.
You can see somebody running around in it. But when this was shot in 79, the film was dark.
Mm-hmm.
In the theater, it was dark. It was grittier. We weren't shooting on digital. There was film stock.
Right.
And you could choose, you know, to darken some shit a little bit in your post, and you don't see as much of the costume. Now with a 4K renderation, you're gonna see the costume.
Right.
But in 79, dude, scary as fuck.
I heard that in the restorated version, I don't know if restorated's a word, but it is now.
Good word.
Restoration, I think, is the proper term. But I guess you can see the alien all curled up in the chains when he first walks in the room now.
That's cool.
But then you couldn't really see it.
So trade-off.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I would just hope that they give eventually an unedited cut, which I think my Alien is, if I was only to watch the theatrical one, though.
Right.
Which is loses some content and some exposition that I really like. And I love this movie, seen this movie lots and lots of times. But his getting snatched up, scary as shit. And we hear, I think from far away, somebody hears it, maybe Ripley or what was his homie's name? The
Yaphet Kotto.
Yes. Yes. I can't remember his character name, but somebody hears this, and Lambert, I want to say around this time, is having full-blown panic attacks.
Yeah, she's flipping like, out, dude.
Yeah, she's really losing her shit, whereas everybody else is kind of, we got to be strong in this and try to figure it out because we don't have anywhere to go.
Right.
They used to tell us that shit on the ship. Everybody was a firefighter, dude, because they say you got 453 feet to run before you got to turn around and do something.
Right.
You're in a big fucking ocean, and I've been out there in the middle of the night. They ain't finding your fucking ass.
That's so scary, dude.
They are not finding
you. And there's little monsters that want to eat you in the ocean.
We know more about space than the ocean.
Exactly.
Think about that, people. Think about that.
James Cameron's The Abyss.
James Cameron, Titanic, whatever. That South Park episode with James Cameron. So he's gone. We regroup, I want to say, around this time. And Ash is starting to act weird.
Yeah, he's starting to get twitchy. And Ripley knows that something's up. And she wants to talk to Mother. And he won't let her.
Right. Right. And I need to know what's going on. So she's very leery of him. Who does the alien get next? Lambert?
Lambert makes it all the way to the end.
Does she?
I think the next one to go is Dallas. And we have some time here before it happens.
Right.
And this is where I get confused because, yes, in the director's cut, you get more of Dallas's little, you know, through the adventure, like, I feel like a fucking TV dinner.
Oh, right.
Come out to the coast, we'll have a few laughs.
So it's just getting there. You're right, it's a little bit longer, but I feel like I'm missing something big, but I can't remember. Anyway, watch Alien. If you haven't seen fucking Alien, watch Alien.
What are you listening to this for? Go watch Alien.
Then come back and listen. It'll be way funnier and already ruined because we don't get to Ash going crazy for a little while.
Ash is an android. Fuck you guys.
But I want to say they chased it. They got a plan and they were going to try and corner it, get it to move in a certain way, shut off valves or passageways to where it would be funneled in and then going to try and kill it maybe with fire.
I'm thinking that was just that was Dallas's plan. He was going to go and they found out that it was using the ducts and Dallas went into the ducts and he was going to shut off to like corral it in.
You're right. And then they see the ping, 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 which is almost scarier than the alien.
Yeah. And he's like, it's right by you, but you don't know where. It could be up. Right. It could be down.
Yeah. Like it's not. And then all of a sudden through the ceiling, whoosh, your head's gone. And we learn that these things are taking the bodies to not only eat on, but to impregnate with more Xenomorphs.
This always pisses me off. Or not piss me off, but just like it makes me wonder, like, how do they decide which ones they're going to eat and which ones they're going to take back to make babies in?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know how long, because I feel like the one in part three is gestating in Ripley for a long time.
Yeah, like for like the whole adventure. And then you got Alien versus Predator, where it takes like 15 minutes before you got full size aliens coming out of facehuggers.
Right. So I guess there's no real, somebody out there is like, oh yes, there is a fucking explanation. Oh, yeah. It is out there somewhere, because this franchise has spawned comic books, novels, numerous movies, series, you name it. Yeah. Crossovers with Predator all the time, which is cool. Dude. I'm never mad about that.
Dude, I've had him crossover with Batman, crossover with Superman, crossover with Judge Dredd.
I have those. I don't have them anymore, but I might have to try and read some of that tonight, because I remember all those crossovers.
The Batman with Aliens one is legit. Shit.
Yeah, there were some good ones. I remember there was a couple runs of Batman and Alien, like two different series, I feel like, where the alien came to Gotham, then maybe one time Batman was somewhere with an alien. But
the one that I have was Batman's in the jungle, which is super sweet.
Because you need to be...
And he like takes his cape off and fucking starts some shit.
He's like Arnie, bro, with a torch out there, just fighting aliens instead of predators. But yeah, I think the other run was him fighting aliens in Gotham, or they were coming close to Gotham. Anyway, Alien is all over the place.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. So he ends up dying in the ducts, because I think they can monitor the life, possibly.
Yeah, like, yeah, they had his stats. But I might be confusing it with the second one. I just think they're talking to him on the radio and they hear, and they're like, I think Dallas is dead.
Oh no, Dallas is dead. This is where we come back together and we've only got a small group now, and Ash goes crazy.
Full crazy. Because,
yeah, he is under orders from the company who owns him, who created this android. He is under orders to try and preserve the alien life form.
Right. And Sigourney Weaver finally gets into Cerebro mother, and it tells her, and she's like, mother, how do we escape? And she's like, there is no escape. You are fucked.
Right. I can't do that, Dave.
Yeah.
I can't do scary shit, dude. And that is Skynet right there. That is Skynet.
Yeah. And Ash goes in and grabs her by her hair, and fucking she pulls away and he rips a big chunk of her scalp out.
Yeah. Crazy fight right here.
Yeah.
She holds her own because he's robot, and this him choking the shit out of her is Tarantino's probably like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, dude. But you're right. Like Sigourney Weaver, like the veins are popping out in her face and shit. So, you know, she was getting squeezed, dude.
Right. Or just pushing her own head so hard. Either way, your blood is like pumping to your head. And the idea of a robot turning on you just because it's owned by this corporation and choking the shit out of you. And eventually they get him off, but I don't remember how they get him into pieces.
She clocks him with a wrench, and he bleeds the fucking cum blood, which...
The goo.
Like, I'd seen Alien first, so, like, I got the cum blood. Like, what must have the audience thought in 79 when she hits him and some milk comes out?
That is true. I mean, you've already seen some crazy shit, but you do not expect that.
Fuck no.
In this movie. Mm-mm. And he is even scarier now. But I feel like a couple of them taken. But how did he get blasted into pieces?
That I cannot remember. I don't remember how that happened. But yeah, they blow him into fucking pieces.
Yeah, he ends up a goo mess who's just ahead, and they repro or they hook up his wires. And this is terrifying too.
Very scary.
It's melty face, like, oh, I can't tell. Reboot and shit like that. Like Peter Weller and RoboCop, just like weird face. And it's crazy.
And they got like condoms hanging out of his neck and shit. And like it's all like pulsating and stuff when he talks.
Woo. Yeah, they jump started him with cables and shit off a little battery. And he gives them the full scoop about what's going on. They decide that's not going to happen. They're going to fight back. I'm trying to think who makes it to the very end. But we start to see the babies in the full suit alien right around here.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a little before, but it's somewhere around, you know, end of the second, beginning of the third act somewhere. And that shit running down the passageway on this ship is a nightmare.
Yeah,
it's dude, like that was, in the alleyway when his arms get up.
Oh, totally, dude. That's so creepy. Yeah, no, I was sending you like pics from my home screen, like of this sequence. And this is where you get the full, like where you realize, I don't think you realize until now that you're in a fucking haunted house.
Yes. And the monster is finally revealing itself, this big ghost. And it's a scary, scary ghost.
Scary ghost, yeah.
It's a Giger, I think it's Giger, nightmare, dude. Like his artwork come to life. And seeing the head open and the little head come out. And,
right. Now, let me ask you, because I know that when they were developing this, they didn't know what the alien was going to look like, much like Predator. For me, the look of the alien, the feel, the sound effects that go along with it are all so visceral, so much a part of the horror. How does it come across in the book? And how do they explain it? Because I know in the book, he didn't know what it was going to look like yet.
Right, but it's very much the same, because I think the sketches and all that stuff, there was another guy on one of these little interviews I was watching, the couple minutes that I saw of it, and they were like 3 or 4 minutes a piece, and it said play all for an hour and 20 minutes, so I'm sure there's going to be some good nuggets in there. But he was talking about all the artists that came together for the actual concept of the xenomorph, and in the book, they explain it. Kind of, I mean, but reading it, I already had the image in my head.
Right, yeah, it's hard to go back.
I don't know if I could, because right. Once you see that nightmare, there's no unseeing it. Even people who have never seen Alien would be like, oh, Alien.
Right.
You know what a xenomorph looks like.
And it's like, I read Jaws way later. I know exactly, like, I pictured the animatronic shark more than a real shark.
I did too when I read Jaws. I was also really disappointed in Hooper. That was one of those books where I was like, fuck, dude.
That is a shitty twist. And Spielberg's so smart for cutting out the fact that Hooper sleeps with Chief Brody's wife.
Yeah. Annie's like super gross about it, like dirty hotel room, rapey and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very, very gross. That's one of the ones where I'm like, that and Psycho. Psycho, the movie, is way better, that original, than the book. The book's not bad, but Norman is kind of this overweight, like greasy dude who's just like, you know, and I don't think it doesn't come across the same as that really Anthony Perkins, well-kept, presentable.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something special there. They made magic with both of those movies.
Yeah.
Both of those movies, they made magic. Who gets off? She's the only one who makes it at the very end.
Yeah. They have the plan that they're going to, their original plan is to blow it out of the airlock. And that doesn't work out.
No. And they get it. Somebody was in there with it, right? Or had to lure it in there. Maybe Ripley did and then tried to get out and the thing ended up getting back in.
Yeah. I don't know how that whole plays itself out. They do.
Oh, I'm just trying to remember Lambert and them died.
Yeah. I cannot fucking remember how Yaphet Kotto and Lambert die. I know they're running around in the tunnels with him at the end and he's all bloody and shit.
Boop, boop. They're gonna like blow up half of it, maybe, or the ass end of it.
They were gonna get in the escape pod and they were gonna blow up the ship,
right?
And so she's the only one, though, that makes it to the escape pod.
Try to put the alien right,
and she thought she got it out of the ship,
right?
Or she thinks that it's trapped in the ship. She thinks she's safe because she does her whole sexy lingerie thing. It's not lingerie, it's like a white tank top and underwear, but I think of it as lingerie, and I feel like she's doing it just for me.
For Fred, dick fell off. Ken, dick fell off. So, yeah, but she gets into, I thought their plan was to try and put it in the escape pod, and she was in a different part of the ship, because she does go back into the cryostasis, because in part two, her kid's all old and shit when they finally find her. And she got Jonesy in there with her, that fucking cat.
Yeah, that fucking cat made it in there with her. But somewhere, dude, there's like some nerdy guy and he's like, you guys calling yourself podcasters? Why am I listening to this rubbish? You can't even remember the end of the movie.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. But you are right.
We're old. In my 20s, I remembered every fucking moment of this. But now it's all cluttered.
Well, I just have a lot else going on in life, too. But I feel like we're doing a pretty fine job for Alien. and it's something that you should just experience on your own. But even the ending of this movie, her just kind of floating off into nothingness, is terrifying. We believe that all is, I believe we believe that all is separated, but I want to say, because they send them back to that original planet, right?
Oh, well, she escapes and blows up the ship, and she's like, whoo, and then fucking Alien is in the pipes. Inside there with her, and then you're just like so fucked because she's in close quarters now with this thing that has murdered her whole crew,
right?
But she manages to get into the spacesuit, open up the airlock, blow it out, and this is a great effect where she gets it out into space and you think that, oh, maybe space will freeze it or stop it. This motherfucker clings onto the ship with his claws and tries to crawl back in. And then she turns on like the full blaster and you see it like getting like melted and burning. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You explained that very well.
Oh, thank you.
And then she gets it shut back up. And now I'm in cryostasis.
Exactly.
With the cat. Cat's got to come with me. We'll hang out in cryo. And all will be well until Alien slays at the box office.
Right.
And they're like, yo. And when was Terminator? When was first Terminator? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No.
Would you mind looking up for me?
Yeah.
I want to say it had to have been roughly around this same time.
I'm thinking it was 80, but I mean, the fact that, and I don't know the story, they're at 84. On Terminator. 84. Yeah.
Because I feel like this was just such a crazy time for sci-fi to start taking some cool turns.
It did take some really cool turns, and unfortunately, it hasn't turned since then. So we're getting a lot of boring, same old shit sci-fi.
I almost turned on Terminator Dark Fate the other day, and then I turned it off.
Yeah, you're better off, buddy.
What am I doing? I don't dislike Dark Fate, but you're right. There's got to be something new. There are some really cool indie sci-fi things out there, but nothing on the scale of this stuff. It's right. The same Star Wars. It's the same Terminator. It's this. I mean, we've had like Interstellar was super cool.
But all of those are just like repetitive of what we have seen in these better movies, I think. And I think that the problem with sci-fi now is that for the what was cool about it in the 80s is, like I said, they would take a cell phone and they just like put a bunch of lights on and shit, and then all of a sudden it was a piece of a spacecraft. But you could like kind of and they would always like push the technology, so like they had like, you know, like they could talk to somebody and see them at the same time. We have that now, so it's not a big fucking deal. But let's
want that instrument from Masters of the Universe, that big round multi-keyed motherfucking.
That was another one, dude. I know what that feels like in my fingers, dude.
Right.
But we don't do things like, let's take what we have now and let's push it to like, what are we going to see in 20 or 30 years from now? But instead we just get like fucking big explosions and every single shot has lens flare and you're just like, fuck off.
I feel like we've shifted to a good place in martial arts cinematography as far as mainstream action right now. I feel like all genres ebb and flow. They come and they go, and sadly, it's probably wherever the money's at. People just kind of follow it.
Yeah.
Big production companies. But this movie, all these years later, still, first Terminator is a great movie, but if you gave me the choice, I'm going to watch Terminator 2 almost every time.
Absolutely.
But this movie is so wildly different than its sequel and kind of like Terminator. I feel like I go to it for a different experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because in Aliens, which great title, why not? There's now more than one. We just had one. Now we have more than one.
Right.
Aliens. We got it. They really go full paramilitary badass, like, oh, don't worry, I mean, Paul Reiser's selling them on the fucking night, don't worry about it, we'll get you, you'll be taken care of with all these military people. We get some cool James Cameron stuff, like we got, maybe I just like James Cameron a lot because that motherfucker shows up for action. And even Titanic, I went with the guy that taught me to tattoo to go see Titanic on opening day. We were like 11 or some shit.
Did you guys hold hands?
No, we didn't hold hands. Popcorn buckets. But they turned the fucking AC way down when they went in the water. And that was a cool experience. I don't know that. I wish theaters would be gimmicky like that again.
Totally.
And, you know, but I guess you don't have the audience for it.
Yeah, you got to get people in the back of the theater.
Right. People aren't going out in droves, which I am going to go check out Godzilla. My kid told me it was really cool, so I might see if he wants to go.
Everybody's saying Dune 2 is like the shit and you have to see it. But I don't know. That first one didn't do it for me.
I still haven't seen the first.
Like the original?
Oh, I've seen the original.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the one with Timothy Chalamet, but I've watched Wonka like 3 times now just by myself.
Dude, that's it's so pleasurable.
It really is. It's such a lighthearted just, and he plays it so well. All the characters, so good. But Alien, I'm going to start us off with 5 out of 5 face-sucking xenomorphs because it set the standard for horror in space.
Absolutely, dude.
Modern horror in space.
And I have to agree with you. I think that, you know, we always say Jaws is our top point. Comparing this to Jaws, it's in a different genre, but the same kind of thing. Gave me the same feelings. And is just like to the, I mean, I'm reading an Alien novel right now. That's what got me into, that's why I wanted to watch the first one again. And I just bought the second one on the 4K restoration. And we're going to see what that's all about tonight.
You, and that big director's cut, it's got to have the director. It's probably got like director's 3 or 4 cut, yeah. Different versions on there. Yeah. I just saw one they put out for Texas Chainsaw that's got some good shit on it. But I'm like, fuck, I don't really want to collect a bunch of physical media anymore. But I'm like, damn, them special features.
Yeah.
There's a few. I've got Halloween on 4K. I've got The Dark Crystal on 4K and a couple other handfuls. But I know myself.
Right.
I know myself too well. And I'll be like, oh, this one and that one. And once they hit like that $20 mark, I'll be like buying all them shits up.
And dude,
like,
I just bought The Crow too. And it doesn't come out till May 7th.
So good. And that picture you had. Let's talk about that for a minute. How many face sucking aliens?
5, absolutely face sucking aliens. Yeah. This is a top tier film, and it ages better than I'd say 99% of movies from 1979.
For real, it's so good. Okay, so you sent me a picture earlier, and this is what I wanted to bring to the table today. For our mindful, we talked about the macabre. Now we'll jump over to the mindful. And I really initially was going to say just, how was your day? How was your day, Ken Dickfeloff? And just talk. Yeah. But you sent me a picture.
And I ruined everything.
Didn't ruin everything. Because I think this is kind of important to what I was going to say regardless. Your picture was of you in Seattle. Do you know the name of the cemetery?
Ooh, no, I don't.
If you don't, that's okay. I wouldn't expect you. You know what I mean? That's
I knew fine. It at one point because I knew how to get there, you know, but.
Sure. Yeah, you had to follow it. But you were standing at the gravesite of, or the grave plot of the Lee family and the headstones of Bruce and Brandon.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's spots for Linda and Shannon. As I don't know how big that plot is, but you got to stand at that gravesite. Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee, crazy tragedy.
Yeah.
Crazy, a lot of coincidences. People have written whole theses on this shit. Like, yeah. Was it some kind of Chinese curse? Was it a something else? Was it this? They even explored it a little bit in that Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, yeah. Where he's fucking fighting the demons and shit in his head. Choking him out with nunchucks. And I'm a huge, huge Bruce Lee fan. But our relationship was more predicated on the Brandon Lee that right. We both just love and cherish. Because you were like, I was like, oh, we talked about The Crow. It's like, oh, rapid fire. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, he really knows. And you being able to stand there, send me that picture. This kind of ties into your day a little bit. Those two were just regular dudes. They were human beings. That's one of my favorite things that Bruce Lee ever said in that fucking interview from wherever he was at in England or some shit. And dude's like, do you want to be known as a Chinese superstar or an American superstar? And Bruce just hits him with, I just want to be known as human being.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude. That's powerful.
But he was a regular human being. You know what I mean? He pushed it really hard. And that's not to say he didn't have an ego and shit like that. But I think his kid was the same way. When you go back and watch him just sitting there playing Game Boy on set, smoking cigarettes, hanging out with people, that amazing shot where you get the freeze frame when he's watching the kids. Oh,
yeah.
Goosebumps, dude, for real, right now. Every time I think about it, I'm just like, it's so good. But these people were regular. Bruce and Brandon Lee were regular people who just decided to do something with their time. We all have equal time. That's the one equalizer.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the same amount. And then you get to death, and that's an even bigger equalizer because it don't matter what you got. You're fucking done there. You don't have to change somebody's life on a huge scale. But you have no idea. Like, we're still talking about Bruce and Brandon. You know, there's probably people who don't even know who the fuck Bruce and Brandon Lee are.
Right.
There's probably, it's probably hard with Bruce Lee because everybody, he was, at least in our generation, you know, as time goes on, he'll fade. Like, everybody will fade. Nobody stays the center of attention forever. But these two seem to just say, yeah, I want to do something with my time. And they were different things. Like, they both wanted to act, but his dad was physically, maybe the most physically fit person to ever live. That dude right. was, he, they say he pushed it too far. And that might've been some of the stuff with his health. Like, you just can't do 1,000 sit-ups every day and 1,000 push-ups and all of these things. But he was an amazing philosopher at the same time. But me and you, same situation. Everybody listening to this, same situation. You can choose what to do with your time, but you can change the world, even if it's not on a huge scale like they did, but just by, I think, being who you're supposed to be. And that's a weird thing to say, be who you're supposed to be, because most people spend a lifetime trying to figure out who they're supposed to be. But I think these two guys had it kind of figured out. Often, I feel we associate greatness with a sense of celebrity.
Right.
Two things do not equate. Your greatness does not have to be known by anyone. Your greatness might be something that's not felt for 200, 300 years, but you fucking changed something that had some effect. And that's hard for a lot of people because we live in the TikTok generation and shit where everybody wants to be the star of their own show. Everyone's the director of their own movie and watch my little movies and watch my little movies. And I'm not, I hate when I talk bad about social media because I know everybody's on it and I don't want to feel, I don't want anyone to ever feel like I can't disconnect the thing from the person. You know what I mean? But lift people up and be aware of your time. Be like, even right now, when you get up from that chair, you could go and say some nice shit to one of your kids, to your wife, and that could change their, you never know, dude. You never know.
Absolutely.
Or you could go up there and be an asshole. And be like, you fucking suck.
Yeah, and they'll still love you anyway.
Maybe to an extent, or they'll kill you in your fucking sleep or some shit.
You know what? Maybe you deserve it.
Damn. Stabbed with my own Thundercat sword off the wall.
Yeah, dude. Straight right through you, dude. Right through your fucking gullet.
Dang, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine.
Because you didn't make Kraft macaroni and cheese. You fucking made the store brand.
Oh, this first world we live in is a real thing. The fact that we even, there's so many days, if I don't have something to be grateful for, I'll be like, I have on-demand chocolate milk almost anywhere I go. I can stop at any store, and these motherfuckers are going to have the nectar of the gods in all different sizes and shit, all different flavors, double chocolate, protein boosted. Oh, you want vanilla, strawberry? We got that. You want milk that tastes like your cereal milk? Here's a fucking Fruit Loop strip. We live in that world. We live in the world where you and I can sit thousands of miles apart, talk about movies, electricity. We've got power to do it. We have this thing called the internet that some people still don't even know what the fuck that is in this world. Yeah, we have, you know, people say our healthcare is crazy, but it's pretty much a decent fucking healthcare system. You can get taken care of if you need to. You're not going to die of diarrhea. Motherfuckers still die like 30,000 a year globally from diarrhea because they just dehydrate to the point of death.
I still think I might die of diarrhea.
There's been a couple times I was on the shitter. I tell my kids that I keep a pitcher of ice water next to the toilet and I just arch my back and pour it down when I eat too much hot spice. You just let it run straight down my ass crack.
I do. That actually sounds really nice.
does, right? When you have one of them crazy ones. Yeah, we live in a very fortunate country and time. It's wild. If you really step way the fuck back and look at it, it's like, dude, people, I think more than anything, the disease that's eating away is at us as human beings is boredom. We have so much free time now.
We have so much of everything. Everything's at our fingertips. And we fucking hate it.
Right. So for the Horror Pop Extravaganza, episode 22, I have been Pops Ghostly.
And I'm Ken Dixfelloff.
And we will talk to you next week. Dicks.
Keep them close, people. Keep them close.
Peace, hugger, motherfucker.